The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, we're ready to roll and kibitz about what we just saw in Week 12 and perhaps even about what we put into our bodies over the Thanksgiving holiday. And let's start it off. Let me say this first, though. Coming up in just a bit, as always, on our first DDFP of the week, Maurice Jones-Drew, Colleen Wolf, and you. It's time for the Q&A in a matter of minutes here. Always be sure to drop us a line, hashtag DDFP, and we'll talk about what you want us to talk about. Meantime, seated to my immediate left, 12 years, he wore the number 24 in black and gold. I saw it running around on the field on Sunday night, and it didn't sit right with me. I didn't like him because he actually he kind of runs the way you do.
No, he don't.
Yeah, he does a little bit.
No, he don't, man.
All right, he does run a little bit like you. But anyway, let's say hello to him all the way from the bayou. It's Ike Taylor.
Born in Gretna.
That's in New Orleans.
Ike Taylor. What's the poop, Ike? Hey, late breaking news. Emma VP just got in my ear there behind the glass, and she said, coming up on the show also, I didn't realize we had him booked. How about this one? Brandon Cooks. That's a good one, Ike.
That's a real
one. Having a very nice season.
Boy, he having a heck of a season.
He really is. And you know what? Let's start there. Oh, that was what I was going to say, though. A couple things I wanted to promote. Ike Taylor and I, just a moment ago, went through, I know it's old news that Antonio Brown is very good at football, and so is Ben Roethlisberger, but Ike provided us a little X's and O's to help explain exactly how they're getting it done in 2017 and all the way back since they first joined forces a number of years ago. So look for that on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and beyond, at Dameshek. And Ike underscore swagga you or whatever you are?
Swagging.
It's hard to figure it out there.
No,
That underscore is hard to remember, you know?
It's because I try to stay under the radar. That's why I got the underscore.
Impossible. Charismatic.
Everything is, it's possible. It's not impossible.
Also, you have to track down on the social media what Eddie Spaghetti, his expose, you know, like you missed the pie off six, but a lot of people were captivated
you
once
again.
You
can't say spaghetti. You got to say it how my son used to say it when he was small. Huh. And he meant, Daddy, can I have some Eschetti, please?
That's kind of good. Eddie Eschetti.
Eschetti.
Eschetti, he did a hard-hitting expose like he was a 60 Minutes journalist. There was some controversy, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it was turmoil?
Turmoil. Things got ugly. Tara Deeker, you know Tara, yep. Loves wolf in sheep's clothing. She entered two pies into the contest.
And lost.
Under false pretenses.
And
she
lost.
Tried to game the system.
And lost.
She lost both pies. Dang. But she also lost my respect with that behavior that she put on. Did trying to sneak an extra pie into the pie off?
Like you weren't going to find out.
I ate it. You know but I'm against saying? My
she
will.
No, you taste test all the pies.
I ate them all. But I didn't feel good about eating that second pie of Terry.
That's
Deaker.
Why the way you look like now.
I don't need that. Now, okay. Let's talk about Brandon Cooks for a second here, and in slightly broader terms, the looming game now. I dare say, yes, I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, as I may have mentioned to you once
you
or
think?
Twice before, Ike.
Right.
I want you to know something. That game in Heinz Field, Patriots Steelers, is the biggest one of the regular season, right? At least on the AFC side.
Yeah, it's a measuring stick.
Do you feel, based on what you've seen, I know it's easy to say, yep, I think this year the Steelers can get it done.
No, that's how you feel.
No. Do I think the Steelers are going to beat the Patriots?
Yeah.
No, listen, if I had the, I don't know, if I had, if
yes
I were,
no.
if I were doing a digit
yes
bet.
No. Yeah, no bets, yes or no.
If I were betting fingers on this.
Yes or no.
I would say no.
Okay.
I know it doesn't make me happy.
Which game? The both games?
The one that matters, the postseason one. I don't. What do I care if they win in December, if they lose in January? That'll make it all the more heartbreaking. Here's the thing, though, Ike. Oh, by the way, big programming note. Me and Ike Taylor are going to jump on an airplane in a matter of days, and we're going to pay a visit to Heinz Field.
To the Six
Flags. To the banks of the Three Rivers to see if Shazier and everybody else are emotionally right before the big game.
Me and Shaq is coming to Sixburg.
Mm.
I'm giving y'all a warning.
And we're leaving there with Sevenburg. Sevensburg. Seven.
I don't even sound, just say seven.
Seven. We'll take seven, but that'll be delayed.
Sixburg sound, but
we leave the Twin Cities with seven in tow, right?
Let's give it. Let's
talk. Okay, I'm just trying to talk to you, but I'm just trying to make an interesting conversation with you. I feel like somebody floated this to me. Is Antonio Brown an MVP candidate? And I hadn't considered it. I think he is. When you look at his numbers, first in receptions, first in yards, he's in the midst of the greatest five-year run for any receiver in NFL history. That's not hyperbole. Look it up. Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson, Marvin Harrison. No one has ever put on a show like Antonio Brown has for 5 years. And yet, right or wrong, agree or disagree, I say Carson Wentz is going to be the MVP. Well, then, of course, that brings out the Patriots fans who declare, well, Tom Brady is having a better season. Where do you come down at this point?
Yeah, I think he's a candidate for sure. AB is definitely a candidate. Just look at his body of work. Look at the plays he made. Look at the plays he make at crucial times during the game. So, this dude, I was thinking last night, Shaq, I was watching the game, and then I watched the press conference, and I watched his three sons come up on the podium, and I'm like, this dude really got it together. Like, you can just tell, like, his smile, his body language, you can look at him in his eyes, like, he's really the total package now, not only on but off the field, and you can tell he's just real comfortable and secure and confident under his own skin. You can just see it. You can see it. And I'm like, dang, AB really grown. Like, that's how I'm looking at it from a distance. Like, dang, this dude really matured into like a real live grown man off and on the field.
I think it's interesting, and you know, Chris Collinsworth talked about that on the Sunday night broadcast in reference to the end zone celebrations, that these are 20-something-year-old guys that you're watching out there trying to have a good time. You know, they don't feel the weight of the world necessarily. These are supreme athletes having and finding themselves along the way under the white hot light of public attention.
You see this year how exciting the league has been to watch since they brought the celebration back.
I've gotten some curmudgeon saying that they can't stand it. They're bored with it. Stop that. I say, listen, this is a very difficult profession that you've chosen. Let them show glee.
It's good for not only the perimeter guys, but now you got your big sexies, your offensive linemen, your defensive linemen, your quarterback and Carson Wentz. He's starting to get into it. Mm-hmm. Case Keenum, he's with the program too. When you see these guys all having fun, that's their sanctuary. Like, that's
does it make a difference? Here's the thing, though.
It's a sanctuary for a lot of these guys.
Gronkowski. Matter of fact, can we play a little bit of that sound there? Let's play a little of Gronk. So, in sharp relief with the Steelers who wear it and have fun, and they're, you know, Coach Tomlin himself is that. Gronk gets up there after a 2-touchdown performance and says this.
We got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations. That's what we got told, but I kind of want to talk about it, but I kind of don't because I'll get in trouble. So I don't know what to do. So it just happened on the spot. It wasn't planned. We'll just keep it there.
So he's not allowed. So they got yelled at, presumably by Belichick. You're not allowed to talk about that.
He didn't say he got yelled at.
He did. He said we got reprimanded or whatever. He said
we can't
talk about it
as much as I want to. I can't.
I mean, how joyless is it, though? Do we have to make it such a joyless endeavor?
It doesn't matter. Like, the man going by the Belichick rules, and that's the Belichick rules.
I know, and Belichick has all those Lombardies and everything. So that leads me to this question for you, Ike. Is, you know, Tony Dungy says, well, I talked to Coach T on Friday, and that's just who this Steelers team is. You know, they make mistakes. They screw things up. Ryan Shazier is too active. He overruns plays, and, well, that's just who they are. They still survive. That seems like a bad formula going into the uber-disciplined Patriots, right, or no? Or do you feel like somehow there is an emotional or intellectual edge on the Steelers side? I don't see it if you do.
So – Coach Popovich has a few titles, right? Basketball. We're talking basketball, right? He got his own personality, right? And they do things a certain way with the Spurs. Coach Steve Kerr has his own personality.
All right, I like that. That's a good one.
And they do things a little bit different.
Because Pop and Belichick line up philosophically,
and they do things a little bit different for Golden State, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like that.
It's like having kids, Shaq. You have three kids. All three of them ain't going to be the same. Mm-hmm. They not.
I had three years and years ago.
Oh, what you got? Eight?
No, something. I forget how many.
Oh, so you're trying to
catch Phillip. I have a lot.
You're trying to catch Phillip?
I may.
Go for it. Hey,
by the way, he's busy going for a division title.
No question.
He's going to get that crown, ain't he?
You've been saying that a long time. But just to get back to the topic we were talking about, I mean, Coach Belichick, he does things a certain way, and you got to respect it. Like, the man has been very successful. That's the way he do it. But if you just ask his players, the players love him.
Like, they do love him.
He acts a certain way towards the media. Like, he's not a fan of the media, and I get it. Coach Belichick been that way. Coach T might embrace it a little bit different. But you got to understand, like, Coach T record since he's been there, heck, there's no – other than Coach Belichick, nobody has had a better record in a 10-year span. He been there for 10 years.
I know. It's remarkable. And
Coach T.
Well, what I'm getting at is, and I don't ask this just from a Steelers fan's perspective, but it feels awful. I'm getting fatalistic, Ike, about this. I watch the Patriots whip the Raiders, and I watch them just clinically take apart the Dolphins and everything. Who's going to beat them? The Patriots are going to win again, aren't they? Tell me that I'm wrong about that.
In 2005, right, they couldn't even put a leash on the defense. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Coach Cowell, Dickey. The only person who had a leash on the team was probably Paw Mr. Rooney, and he stayed upstairs. He don't come down during the football season. He'll come down after. Downstairs, like, decision-making. He let his coaches coach. He stayed away from anything during football season. But he was probably the only one that could have came down and put his hand on something like, y'all need to stop it. Do you know how ruthless, how bad we were in 2005? Nobody could stop us. I'm talking about on and off the field. Mm-hmm. We going out to eat. We fighting. We smacking. We beating people up.
The thing that almost derailed you, the thing that made you a diamond in the rough, was that Roethlisberger got hurt and Maddox threw a couple games away.
It doesn't matter. It didn't derail us because we wound up winning it.
No, I know. But I remember feeling like this Steelers team, people aren't acknowledging it because of that swoon.
It doesn't matter. The Steelers, I'm looking at the Steelers now as a younger version of how we were in 2000.
I know, but matchups, but it's styles make the matchups, as they say. And this feels very Ali versus Frazier to me. And I don't see, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know what that rivalry is. It's not a rivalry. It's an ownership. The Patriots have owned the Steelers. I don't like saying it. The 21st century, that's the way it is.
Bro, you just got to speak. Whether you want to say it or not, you just got to speak your facts.
I just said it.
And
I don't like it.
The Patriots have. But
this is the time now.
Sean Davis is a good matchup for Gronk. Mm-hmm. A good matchup for Gronk. And we're talking about Tom Brady and his receivers. I would take his receivers out of it. I would lean more on where Gronk and what Gronk is doing, because they're going to attack the safeties. That's how I'm looking at it from my perspective, my eyesight. The Patriots will attack the safeties for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we're sleeping on the most important thing they do well. They're top 10 in rushing. And these guys, Deion Lewis, where he played at?
Pitt.
Okay. So we bring in these small, Sproles-like kind of running backs, and we expect them to run on the outside and the edges. Nope. They do a great job by running in between the tackles. So that's where it's going to be. It's going to be in between the seams and the hashes of that football game. It's not going to be one on the outside. I promise you, this game between the Pittsburgh Steelers, all the big plays will be in between the hashes. It's going to be the run game, and it's going to be the matchups between the safeties and the tight ends. That's the matchup.
Well, and that says to me that 50 also looms large. He's going to have to deal with Gronk and Deion Lewis and any of those other pass catchers coming out of the backfield.
Well, defensive league MVP, we could talk about him too. That's a whole nother story.
Well, to me, as I said on Sunday, there are a lot of, you know, Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, Shazier, Bosa and Ingram. But the best defensive player remains Aaron Donald. Where'd he go to college?
Pitt.
He did. And what did I tell you last week? Spaghetti, tell him. Who told you that Pitt would knock off the U?
Dave, you did call that.
I know. When do I get a parade, though? When do I get my parade already for all my truth in advance of it coming true? You know? You know what? Let's wrap it there, Ike. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Make sure you check out Ike, though, every Monday night on the End Game, post game on Monday night with Cole Wright and the fellas there. Always a good time there. Ike, Good Morning Football, the weekend edition with the Wolf, gangbuster stuff. A lot of accolades coming 24's way there. And then, of course, like I say, we'll be in Heinz Field or we'll be on the banks of the Three Rivers in front of that Patriots game. Can't wait for that. That's going to be a good time. Oh, get the pulse, what everybody's doing there. See, you know, it's going to be a good time, Ike. I can't wait for it. All right.
That sounds like your Christmas present.
Well, that's pretty much it. I'm going to sit in a room with Ike and I don't know who. And some
we're
going
to have a good time, Shaq. That's all I'm going to tell you. We're going to have a good time.
What should I bring to make a nice impression? Should I bring like some?
Nothing. We're going to go to my 412 store.
Oh, okay.
So pack light.
Okay. Should I bring like a spinach dip or something though, I mean?
No, you can't carry that on the plane.
No.
Unless you fly private.
Well, Mo Damashek will be there. Maybe she can, maybe we'll crash at her place and we'll go from there. All right, listen. That's it for 24. But now, here they come. We're going to the bullpen. It's time for MJD and the Wolf.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
Hey, great stuff, Ike and Dave. And now joined in Studio 66 with the Wolf on the way. Let's say hello to him. The longtime Jacksonville Jaguar, the Hall of Fame from UCLA Bruins and Oakland Raider for 1 year, now the radio voice of the Los Angeles Rams and the host of Players Only every Friday on NFL Network. Oh, so many things we could go on and on about. Let's go on and on about the game of pro football with Maurice Jones-Drew.
Straight out of Oakland. That's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguar. Addicted to the insult.
Enough. That's the high watermark of the song in my book anyway.
It's close. I like the sexy.
I do too, actually, now that I think about it.
We got to cut it where they just say that.
Let's do that, MVP behind the glass. Let's cut to that. Hey, coming up in just a minute here, Brandon Cooks is going to join us. Maybe he'll be a part of the Q&A, or maybe we'll give him some cues and he'll give us the A's.
He's from around the crib, too.
Is that right? East Bay, you mean?
He's from Stockton. It's like a little outside the East Bay. It's like its own little area, but it's really 20 minutes away from where I grew up.
I feel like you and I have already had this discussion, but in advance of Cooks joining us, don't you feel, I mean, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl, aren't they?
I don't know if they are, but they're a hot team that no one's talking about right now. They're rolling.
No one's talking about them. What do you mean? I'm talking about them to you right now.
I'm saying, like, when we talk about hot teams in the league, everyone says the Eagles, they say the Vikings, they even say the Rams and the Saints.
Yeah, but they're sort of the Patriots. Pittsburgh. It's the same thing as people. It's the syndrome that plagues so many true greats. I don't mean 1 year, like, wow, he's really having a great season.
Like Antonio Brown.
Sustained greatness means that you don't get considered for the MVP, ironically, or paradoxically. Right. Like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan should have been the MVP, I guess, pretty much every season he was in the league.
Yeah.
Shaq, same thing. Chuck Knoll should have been the coach of the year most seasons in the Don't at me about that one.
Most seasons?
Well, when you win 4 Super Bowls out of 6 seasons, yeah, I guess you're the best team. And who's responsible for that?
The guys on the field.
All right. I'm not having that debate with you. You get the larger
saying.
Point. You get
I'm
the larger point.
I get
point.
It. I get what you're saying.
Yes. So I think Tom Brady, a lot of people are – I said Carson Wentz is the MVP for better or worse.
He should be. No, but that's the question. I think Tom Brady gets thrown in those situations. Yes, he's playing better. He's playing well. He's playing awesome. At 40 years old, that's awesome. But Carson Wentz is 28-5, like touchdown to interception ratio. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. For a second-year guy, too. Remember that. Remember last year, they were hot. And then they just went down. And all of a sudden, like, I'm scared that the Philly is going to be really good for the next 10, 15 years. That's what I'm scared of that because you have a quarterback.
Why would that be bad, though?
I don't know. I'm not a Philly fan. I'm my other teams, you know, Rams. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Even the Rams are playing well, so I hope they're good for the next 15 teams.
They're kind of set up to be good for a little while, right?
Exactly. And so I just think what they're able to do there, and they're only going to get better because they're going to, you know, we forget about the cornerback from Washington that they took in the second round. His name has just slipped me, but they grabbed him and said he hasn't even played yet. And they're playing with two, three, third, and fourth.
I can't think of his name either.
Do we know his name?
Yes. I want to get it out of pride. What's his name? Yeah, the kid. Yeah, right.
The one that tore his Achilles in the pro day. He was a top five pick. Mm-hmm. We don't know it yet? Eddie?
Come on, Spaghetti. What are you doing back there? Stop putting cologne on and do some research, would you, please?
Back there putting on deodorant.
Putting his body sprays on.
The Eagles' second round pick. His name just slipped.
It keeps coming in the one ear and then out the other. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he's going to be playing soon, apparently.
Yes.
He's going to be out there before the end of the season. Anyway, a big win by your Rams there. I think they needed it for their own sake.
Sidney Jones. There it is. That was I was thinking of something completely different, but I know where he's from. He's from Pomona, California, too, so. No, a lot of his name just slipped my mind, but he's going to help them out as well.
Maurice, what do you think about this? The next question I have for you that's injury-based, this sort of is related to that is, again, the perennial thing about not greatness but value and most valuable player. People love to debate that. And Tom Brady, here's the argument in favor of Carson Wentz over Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a tick better, I guess, statistically so far this season. But legitimately, I know this sounds crazy, but if you took Tom Brady off the Patriots, they'd be in better shape than the Eagles would be if you took Carson Wentz off the Eagles, right?
Who's their backup?
Nick Foles now.
Yeah, I mean,
if you put Nick Foles in there, that would not go – they would not be – I mean, what would their record be? The Patriots, I contend with Brian Hoyer and Jimmy Garoppolo. If Brady had gotten hurt in week one and they said, well, we got to just ride it with Garoppolo this season, they'd be 8-8, 9-7, maybe 10-6 even.
They may win some games. I mean, we saw him play 56 seconds on the Niners. He looked pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
He looked cool.
I bet you Brian Hoyer would go 8-8 in that.
He could make some plays. Now, he can't get too much exposure. You got to run the ball a lot. You're going to lean on that running game, but I think he'll be fine too. Mm-hmm. I just think with Carson Wentz, their defense, his numbers aren't where they should be because his defense is so good and they get so many turnovers and they always have a short field. He doesn't have the yardage. But still,
he's still going to wind up with 3,600 or thereabouts, which is –
but anybody throwing 30 touchdowns in the season deserves – like, we get so accustomed to Aaron Rodgers 40 every year, right? That is unbelievable. That's what you talk about being great. You get accustomed to, like, oh, my God, that's crazy. 30 touchdowns is a lot in a season, especially for a second-year guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Well, by the way, too, the other thing you can't exactly just marginalize is that Carson Wentz has 250 yards running the ball. TB doesn't have that. He doesn't have 250 yards over his lifetime.
No, he may have a little bit of that. I watched my son was watching YouTube the other day, and we saw Tom Brady shake Brian Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher, that's embarrassing. Hey, now here's the next question. We talk about the Jenga theory all the time. And, you know, you're going to lose players. And if you lose the wrong piece, the whole thing implodes. Well, we've seen any number of huge injuries this
Giants.
Year. J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham. The list goes on and on.
Let me say this. J.J. Watt's not the Jenga piece in Houston anymore.
You think Clowney is or Deshaun Watson?
I think Deshaun Watson's the Jenga piece.
Generally speaking, we remove the quarterbacks from the Jenga theory because almost every NFL team's going to be harmed significantly if you take their starting QB away. But the question is this, Maurice. If you could go back to the start of the season, so this removes Andrew Luck from the conversation here because he was never a viable play. Around about late August, you realize he's not going to be available. So given the guys who started the first week of the season – if there were no injuries from that point forward, how different would things look? Who would be in better shape right
now? The Houston Texans, if they would have started Deshaun Watson week one, they might be undefeated.
Think about that. Think about if they would have, even if they do it the way they did. They start Tom Savage for a half, then they put Deshaun Watson in. Fine, right. I think if J.J. Watt's healthy, Whitney Mercilus is healthy. You have that whole crew ready to roll.
You have Deshaun Watson throwing the ball. Imagine what they would have done to Seattle with that situation.
Right? I mean, I think the Texans, I don't think it's insane or hyperbolic or anything else to say that might be the best team, including the Patriots, in the AFC right now.
Oh, no question. I think that they have acquired the right talent, right? There's a thing to having too much talent, but then there's a thing also called having the right talent, where you have, you know, first overall pick in Clowney. You have J.J. Watt. You have Whitney Merciless. Jonathan Joseph on the back end. They're able to get some guys in there to play linebacker like Cunningham, who's a rookie that you're playing well. But offensively, they had everything. Hopkins, you had Fuller, you have Braxton Miller, you have Lamar Miller, you have Devontae Foreman, who got hurt, right? All these guys. And then you put Deshaun Watson in there after you've drafted a pretty decent offensive line. And then all of a sudden, they're now scoring 40 points a game, it seemed like. Remember, they were putting up 57 some weeks. They're putting up literally, they were what the Rams are doing all season. They are doing that in like a 6-7 week span.
Mm-hmm.
50, 40.
Think about 30. This one, though. Now let's go to the NFC side, one of the best stories in the league. Maybe it ends with a home game in Super Bowl 52, the Minnesota Vikings. What if Dalvin Cook were still healthy? What if Dalvin Cook were healthy, Maurice?
Yeah, and I think that would be crazy. Because, well, see, what I've heard talking to guys up there is that Dalvin Cook, they already had a running game planned with McKinnon and Murray as their guys. And they're like, this is what we're going to do. But as Dalvin Cook started to fall, they're like, well, we got a chance to get a Ferrari. Like, we know what these guys can do, and our game plan's already set for this. But to add that piece in here was going to be crazy. But then I don't know, because Sam Bradford's your quarterback.
That's the interesting thing. If Sam Bradford doesn't get hurt, would they ever have gone to Case Keenum? I don't know, which is weird. And I'm a pedigree snob.
Right.
So, of course, I always side with the first rounders. But
Case Keenum, what he's doing now,
right.
The thing that I think people they take for granted with Case Keenum is that he's so slippery in the pocket. Hmm. Like, even in when he was with the Rams, he was slippery in the pocket. He would just get up and throw the ball, and the guys would drop it. He's literally now throwing the ball, missing three or four guys, and then throwing the ball, and these guys are catching it, and they're making plays. And he's mobile. He can run. I think if they played Detroit, it'd be a completely different game if Case Keenum doesn't have that mobile ability to move and kind of make that defense stay honest. And so
he also, you know, I mean, check down Sam or whatever else. That is legitimately what he always did. And Case Keenum is willing. I mean, he gets rid of the ball before the pass rush gets to him, but he also has a real knack and a willingness to hold on to the ball for an extra second when he's got that inside pressure. You saw that on Thanksgiving Day. He has guys bearing down on him, and he'll hold on to it for a split second longer to deliver the ball, and Sam Bradford never has shown the willingness to do.
And I think, you know, that there is what's given them that edge. And it's not – and what's funny is when you have a dominant defense, all you have to do is run the ball. But what they do is they have two dynamic receivers on the outside that make the box light, because you can't run man-to-man. If you put those guys one-on-one, they're going to win every time. And so now Case Keenum, all he's doing is playing one-on-one coverage, like, all right, I'm just going to throw a hitch here. I'm going to throw a slant there. I'll throw a deep route here or there. And then guess what? Rudolph comes in. You forget about him. So they have pieces as well. I just don't know if Sam was there, his immobility might be what hurts him more than helps him.
I'm trying to think of this one through. I shouldn't ask this one willy-nilly like that. Spaghetti, MVP, anyone else behind the glass, weigh in. Whose fortunes would be vastly different without injury? You know, I think
maybe the Giants.
Would they be that much different? Well, they wouldn't be in the playoffs if Odell Beckham were still healthy. I mean, it wouldn't make that big a difference.
You don't know.
Odell Beckham is not worth 8 games.
He's a Jenga piece.
I agree with that, but they're –
his passion is what gets that team going. Like, that's what they're missing there. They don't have that swagger.
I've heard it's a detriment.
I heard Albert Breer said that, and it really hurt my feelings, because me and Albert, you know, we've had some good conversations, especially when he was here at the NFL Network. It hurts me to hear people say that, because this game is all about passion. Mm-hmm. Like, this, when you see quarterbacks do the, yo, let's go, that's passion. His passion is just a little bit different. His passion is flashy, look at me, and that's fine. Everyone plays with guys like that. But when he does those things, when he does those dances, and or he has the locker room doing the electric slide in there before or after games, that, because these young kids, and I coach these kids now, they're different. Social media has things change. And so everyone's about, look at me, which is fine. Look at you, as long as you're balling.
Well, the one thing I say is, if you're going to bellyache about Odell Beckham caring too much, then you're forbidden to then say Jay Cutler doesn't care enough. You can't complain about both things. I forbid it. I forbid it. Yes, Spaghetti, were you saying something there? I couldn't hear you. I couldn't quite pick up what you were laying down.
I just said David Johnson, who I know is your fantasy first-round pick.
I know.
David, but does he, though? Does he, like, Yes, I say David Johnson's good, but I knew the Carson Palmer. He was done last year.
I know, but if you had that's a good one though. I'm with Spaghetti. David Johnson and Carson Palmer would be worth two more wins, right? I think that's not unreasonable.
No, I think that's. But I'm still.
And then they'd be right in the playoff mix.
Maybe, but I mean Carson Palmer last year, Father Time. See, Father Time catches up to different positions at different times. When it's a quarterback, your mind never goes. You always know that you can make that throw, and you see this cover, and you can fit it in there. Your arm goes. And so now, instead of throwing it when you normally were throwing it at 27, 28, 30, 32, you're 37. You got to let it a little bit earlier
because
you don't have the gas.
A lot of QBs say, a lot of guys say that it is not the arm, in fact, that it is that you become aware of your mortality and you get scared and you want to get rid of the ball more quickly the older you get. That's what a lot of people say, that the arm doesn't change.
The arm, well, it's not that the arm changes, it's the legs that change because you have to be able to push off the throw.
That's interesting.
But it's the same thing. At the end of the day, I've seen old quarterbacks. It's funny because Brett Favre was doing it when he was with the Jets and when he was with the Vikings. Some of those throws that he was making when he was with Green Bay, he couldn't do it anymore because he didn't have the oomph for it. He could still throw it hard, but it didn't have that extra oomph to get that split second faster to get it there when a DB's coming. And that's where you're getting a lot of picks. That's why you see a lot of quarterbacks throw picks when they get older because they're still trying to fit it in there. Now, once they realize, okay, I got to throw it earlier, then they're back on track again. But sometimes you get stuck.
I have one more. What? Yes, Spaghetti?
I can't hear him.
We said that the Seahawks secondary and Eric Berry and the Chiefs.
Oh, Eric Berry and the Chiefs. Ooh. Is definitely – that's the one. That's the key.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that.
That's the Jenga piece.
Well, I'll give you one. Yeah, that's
the Jenga piece.
Well, I think Justin Houston's the Jenga piece.
He's still out there playing.
I'm set. Well, I guess that's fair since they've won one game in six weeks or thereabouts. One more, even though they are going to still end up winning the AFC West, if you had Jason Verrett on an already great defense there, and all of a sudden you have Bosa and Ingram doing what they're doing up front, and you have two lockdown corners on the outside,
one
yikes.
One of those guys goes to the nickel.
And Denzel Perryman stuffing the run old school. Man, that defense is already dynamite. But if you throw – I mean, the best Chargers, corner, that their best cover guy that they have is out for the year.
Well,
imagine
think
if
about
he were.
This. The Chargers, the AFC West, and I talk with this with Matt Money Smith because he's the voice of the Chargers. The AFC West is going to come down that December 31st game in Carson where the Raiders come down and play the Chargers. What kind of atmosphere do you think that's going
to be? Money is convinced that the most Chargers-y way for this thing to go is for them to run the table until that game. Raiders are playing for nothing, and they come in and knock the Bolts out of the
I think that's going to be the game that's going to decide. That's going to be the AFC West championship game.
Well, without Crabtree, that's a significant loss, especially with
Cooper.
Yeah,
but I think they're going to appeal that because you can't suspend those guys for two games, and then you don't suspend A.J. Green for any.
I think in a vacuum that makes sense, but I think the league is, I mean, you've now seen two receiver and corner fights in the last 3 weeks. They just want to shut it down.
Me. You can't punish
me. I know,
me
but now it sends a message. No more of this nonsense. No more fighting in the field, in the middle of the field.
You can't suspend me because of what A.J. Green did.
Oh, yes, they can.
You can't. No, you can't. You can't do that. And again, I keep telling you, the AFC North sent their assassin to take out the Jaguars cornerback. Because we would be –
Who's
that,
the head of the
AFC? Division.
Who are these guys in charge
of – top of that again.
Who runs each division?
Huh?
Who's in charge of the division to make those calls?
You know about – it's probably you. Because you knew. Because you know you're going to have to play this – the Steelers are going to have to play – the Jaguars at home in the divisional round this year. Watch.
I don't fear the Jaguars.
And if that happens, that's
they took
twice.
Their shot. They took their best shot.
It's gonna be twice.
They got 7-5 times. He's got no more left to give.
No, he was trying to give him away last on Sunday night.
He was a little bit. That's true. But also, he was throwing some lasers at
him. He was, but he was still trying to give it away.
Make sure you check out that XO with Ike. He really breaks down 7 and 84 there. And by the way, Spaghetti is absolutely right. Let's not forget Russell Wilson in the MVP conversation.
No question.
I mean, they have no running game. They have a bum O-line. Their defense has been shattered by injury.
And he's still winning games.
I think the Falcons are going to win the South ultimately.
Really?
Yes. Well, they have the Saints twice and the Panthers once more. It lines up for them to do it.
But they had the Panthers doing things that, like, the Panthers are trying to make Cam what he's not. Now Cam is Cam. And I don't think they're going to lose again.
Okay. Listen, I hear you. This is the best division in the NFL is the NFC South right now.
Yeah, this year, no question. Yeah. It's a year-by-year league.
Yeah, but I think the Falcons do it, and I wouldn't be absolutely floored. Sorry, Maurice, if the Seahawks caught up to the Rams. I think that was a major victory, though, No, I'm saying it was a major victory for your Rams.
Their own mentality.
If they lose two in a row against a couple NFC contenders, then they would fall into like, hey, it's been a feel-good story. We're building towards something great over the years. Now it's about right now.
We're trying to win a bowl, and we're going to have a playoff game here in L.A.
All right, Maurice, guess what? He's about to join us, Brandon Cooks.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
Joining us via Old Spice Invisible Spray, there he is, the superstar wide receiver of the New England Patriots, Brandon Cooks. What's happening, fella?
Hey, how we doing? I appreciate you. Thank you guys for having me.
Tell me first, and then we'll move on to the game of pigskin. Tell me what you're doing with Old Spice here. By the way, vote for Cooks. He deserves to get to the Pro Bowl. NFL.com/Pro Bowl. Go ahead. What's going on with the Old Spice?
Well, appreciate that. Oh, you know, just partnering with Old Spice. Always use their products for a really long time now. So I'm excited to really join them in their new product and the invisible spray. I think it's been great. You know, it's easy to put on. And ultimately, you know, we don't like those white marks on our skin or on our clothes. And I think they did a great job of creating this product right now, where so far it's not doing that. So,
by the way, first of all, the Wolf also joined us while we stopped down ever so briefly. And Maurice and I were kibitzing about the fact that, listen, Pro Bowl, good luck. I hope you get it and everything. But you're already leading a charmed life. You go from Hall of Famer Drew Brees to Hall of Famer Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
The fate of the planet hangs in the balance. All I can tell you is you get to pick the starting quarterback and no other details.
No.
Who's the one guy you want under center?
Go
ahead.
Come on, guys. I mean, Drew's a great friend of mine, but I live in the moment. So with that being said, I got to go with Tom right now.
Great answer.
Smart. Very smart.
I just have to ask one question about Old Spice because I have two boys. Were you a stinky child as a kid? Were you one of those kids that you would go out and play and you'd stink? And so that Old Spice is like, listen, we want to help out the stinky kids.
I don't think so. I mean, my friends would probably say otherwise, but I don't think I was one of those kids. I try to stay clean for the most part. But, you know, as a kid, you get dirty, and every once in a while, you smell.
We were just talking about cologne and whether or not people wear it or not, but that's beside the point. Right now, I want to know about this defense on your team, the way that it's kind of turned around the last 6-7 games. What have you noticed from them and just in the locker room in general, the difference between the beginning of the season to now?
I would just have to say, you know, doing a little things right, paying attention to the details is awesome. And it's helped us grow as a team. You know, we still have a long ways to go, but at the same time, I think we're headed in the right direction, and we should continue to get better every week, and that's the goal.
You guys always – you've always had one of the better touchdown celebrations, although they took it away from you this year. And then we hear Gronk, you're not allowed to talk about him. And then we always hear Belichick's a super fun guy behind closed doors. True or false?
True.
Really?
True.
A funny guy, but he just doesn't want the world to join in on it.
No, I wouldn't say it like that. I mean, he is who, you know, what you see is what you get on or off the camera. But I think we take it in a different way. He's a great coach and a great person. So, you know, we love him. I love him. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you for coming, man. And
I like your chains, by the way.
Yeah, two chains.
Don't wear those in the game. That makes trouble.
No, come on.
Hey, just send some Old Spice this way because I got two kids that need the invisible spray.
This isn't your chance to get free stuff, Maurice.
He's raised my dog. He's from Stockton. I'm Antioch. We're right there. We know each other. We're good people.
All right, but he doesn't root for the Golden
State.
He doesn't root for Golden State. He roots for Portland. It's Damian Lillard, the most underrated guard in the league.
Hey, that's another topic for another day.
That's right. All right, see you later,
man. And lady.
There he goes. Brandon Cooks, everybody. Dodgy but keen answer on Breeze v. Brady.
That was perfect.
He did well there. But there he goes. Brandon Cooks, good to kibitz with him. And now let's say hello to you properly because, like I say, you jumped in there right as Brandon was joining us. Here she is, everybody. You watch her on Good Morning Football, the weekend edition.
Yep.
You watch her on
Game Day Morning.
Power Rankings. Oh, game day morning. I always forget
that. I know. I got you.
That's the big show now. Don't disrespect her.
Well, I get out
like, no disrespect.
You know, this, right now, though, this is the big show.
But the Wolf pulls the strings, don't you see? She's the quarterback, the point guard, whatever you want to say. And yet that point guard or that coach or whatever we're calling her never looks over to the bench and sees a pot-bellied Jew and say, Damashek, you're in.
On Tuesdays, I do.
On Tuesdays at 9:30 at the practice when we're practicing.
I'll tell you, this is among my two or three. It kind of is. Yeah. It's fine.
That's what, that's what she just told you.
No.
Fine. She did. She was like on Tuesdays.
This is my chance. This one.
Who plays on Tuesdays unless it's Christmas?
This is when I get nuts.
The reps are the best part, though, right?
Yeah, it's all about the reps.
This is like the last 11 minutes of Saturday Night Live. No one's watching anyway. Do whatever we want. We get experimental here.
Why
it doesn't
not?
Hit, it doesn't hit. Who cares?
I love it. That's why it's so great. That's why Tuesdays are my favorite day.
You're the only one that asked, well, you and Sheck. I can't believe, Sheck, you went football question again for Brandon Cooks. You're supposed to go, like, deep dive into it.
That was a funny question, Dad. I'm not funny, but I think it's interesting to hear how he dodges his way around it.
He's taking the Belichick way of interviewing, and he's taking the course and he passed it with flying
colors. I wanted to ask him about his chains, and I wanted to ask if somebody ripped them off. Well, what he would do. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys now, because we haven't got a chance to talk about it. That is like that's like the biggest disrespectful thing you could ever do. Like you might as well spit on me than if I have a chain on my neck, because you're just testing my manhood. And in that situation, when you're Tlaib, from what I heard, Tlaib didn't really want to go and do that. But Crabtree, Crabtree as a man, you already got your chain ripped last time. You're like, nah, this time we finna get it going. I respect that from Crabtree. But to get it taken twice, like that was just too far.
I mean, has anyone had a tougher go in terms of sort of, I don't know, getting emasculated a little bit on some level? I mean, let's not sleep on the Richard Sherman event either. At the end of the conference game, he gets humiliated. He not only has the ball knocked away from him, then he gets humiliated by football in front of Football America.
I just feel like
Crabtree
is a really good receiver. And from what I hear from the Raiders, is a really good dude. But I think everyone has that line. If you cross it, like, you have to do something about it. And in that situation, I get the league saying, because that it did go crazy. It went a little out of pocket. But the part about the funny thing about the Oakland Coliseum is when you eject a player from the away team, they have to walk through the home side.
What do you think of that? What do you think of Marshawn escorting?
And this is the thing, because a lot of people are like, oh, Marshawn should. I was like, no. He understands that situation. Like, Marshawn knows that he's a leader on that team, that he needs to put his arm around him to let him know that nothing's going to happen, because, again, that's a hostile environment. People talk about hostile environment in sports. Imagine you're walking through a crowd of people that you already got into with one of their friends or whatever it may be, and now you got to walk through them to get out.
Especially Raiders fans. I loved it. I thought it was like – it was such a nice move. Like, it was like, I got you. Come on. Let's go. Like, a nurturing kind of
piece
of
he was a peacemaker against Kansas City. He's a peacemaker. Marshawn's all about peace and love.
I'm liking him more and more too. Right?
Like, that's what I'm talking about. See, Sheck don't like.
It's heartwarming. I thought it was heartwarming.
You're the one who talks all the time, Maurice, about you love that. You love the.
I loved the fight was over. It was over and done. Now it's time for us to move on. Get you in the locker room. Make sure you get your stuff right. Make sure nobody bothers you. You go.
How thick are these chains?
Like, that's a real chain.
Like, how difficult is it to break a chain?
What significance does it have?
If I did that to you right now,
this is like a delicate piece.
But do it, Maurice. Do it.
Get the hell out of here.
Take her chain.
No, I would never do that. That's not my cup of tea. But it doesn't matter. Like, any chain, it doesn't matter how strong it is. The links. Like, he didn't break the link. He just snapped the hook.
Wow.
And so that hook can only hold so much pressure. He just, boop.
All right, listen. Do you know what the significance of the chain is?
It doesn't matter what the significance. I could have paid $2. It's mine, though.
All right.
And you took my stuff.
But if it got ripped off you last year, it must have some importance around his neck. Why would you go out on a football field wearing
insurance.
A thick
A lot
chain?
Of guys do, though.
I know, but doesn't make it smart. A lot of guys go out without a cup on, too. Let's make it the smart thing.
No one wears cups anymore.
I can't believe that there has not been you don't know about this, Wolf.
I haven't done a deep dive on this.
This fascinates me to no end. NFL football players and college players, too, they all go out and wear no cup to play football.
Some guys wear a jock strap, though.
Listen. Can you imagine? Helmet? I mean, there's never been a destruction out there.
No, oh, so
there's never been an explosion.
No, not an explosion. But let me say this, because this needs to be talked about.
And people are like, well, it causes chafing.
It does. It does cause
chafing. All right, but I can give you a worse scenario that could happen.
I'm gonna tell you a story, Shaq, about there's a thing. It happens in the league every now and then. If a player gets twisted, right, and like if you get torqued the wrong way, mm-hmm. and your testicles will flip. And so there's been cases in the league where guys have had to get a testicle removed because of that. But even if you had a cup, that's not going to help it. That's not going to protect it. But no one's ever got a head-on shot like that.
When we get some of those, like, murky, doubtful things? He's doubtful. Like, what's wrong with him? I'd say he's got a lower body injury.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It just becomes hockey all of a sudden.
Yeah, but what? But what is the injury? Don't worry about it. You don't want to know what it is.
Wow. That's what
ends up happening because – guys get twisted and turned the wrong way, but cups, like, you chafe, and that hurts more than anything. Like little
chafe
like
over
that,
break. That's my rule.
You're not gonna break anything. It's a muscle.
I don't know. Maybe roll. Right. I don't know. Roll the dice.
I think a well placed helmet disagrees with that, but somehow you're right because you don't hear about it ever. All right, let's get to it. That's a good lead into this week's Q&A.
It's time for the Q&A. Here we go.
What do you say? Hey. It's going to be
a great day.
It is time for the Q&A. I love it.
Yeah.
That actually needs to be a good song. We need to get that out there. I'll produce it, though.
I think maybe we need all of us singing from the get-go.
Nah, I'm cool.
I'm pretty pleased with where we're at.
Momentum
as it goes.
Before we go, let me say this. On Tuesdays, please try to follow myself or Colleen. We always go Instagram live before our show of Power Rankings. And Colleen rapped the whole Cardi B song for everyone to see.
Wow. Yeah.
I love Cardi B. I'm working on Motorsport right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Colleen,
still in the works.
I mean, I got all the heart eyes that you can imagine. It wasn't for me. It was for Colleen. So,
by the way, when you guys are doing that show, I'm usually in the green room.
You should come in through. Check
just
it out.
Hang
just
out.
Walk on. Just come out.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Consider it done.
All right,
let's get to some cues here, and then we'll A them for you. The first one comes to us from Sebastian Becker on Twitter. He asks, if you were stuck on an island and could only watch three TV shows, what would they be? Well, assume, Sebastian, in your little question here, that someone has provided us with a flat screen and a DVD player, right?
Yeah, like, I mean...
An endless power. Right, solar powered, it's got to be.
We must have the internet, because the shows that I'm going to watch are going to be, like, Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Breaking Bad.
That's one of mine.
I got to do Breaking Bad. And then the last one...
Well, wait a second now. I know that's easy to say because you like the show Breaking Bad, but you've already seen all of Breaking Bad, and there's never going to be any more Breaking
right.
Bad.
Right.
So is that all right with you?
It is.
You're going to watch that over and over again?
Yeah, and then Weeds, because I like the reason I like Weeds, well, first of all, those are my top three shows, obviously, mm-hmm. but the reason I like them are because I haven't been in that situation, but I can believe that situation, like that a mom loses her husband, and now she has to, like, all these kids,
yeah.
she hasn't been working, so now she has to sell a little weed to kind of get things going, and then she becomes this big weed mogul all of a sudden.
Wow, so you're going Breaking Bad and Weeds.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones, because I need to get some Flying Dragons.
Yeah.
And I need some X-rated stuff in my life, too.
Okay, I've thought about this. I'm also going Breaking Bad because...
Walter White!
I like the... just how it's shot and everything. It's so beautiful. So I mean, not only the storyline aside, right. I just love how cinematically pretty it is watching it. But then I need something with, like, a voluminous kind of series. I need a lot to watch. I mean, I'm on this island.
Sure.
I need.
This is a light. See,
yeah.
This is going practical.
Oh, I messed
Maurice.
Up.
Right.
I messed
so,
up. Go ahead. Do your thing.
I'm going to go Breaking Bad and then The Simpsons.
There you go.
I need a little comedy.
That's on my list.
Right? I mean, I think it's one of the best series ever. So yeah. The Simpsons. And also, I haven't seen, like, anywhere near all of the episodes. Like, this kind of escaped me. So this is the perfect time for me to binge
right.
and catch up on, like, everything that I've missed
for
the past,
life,
like,
though.
Decades of my life.
Yeah, I'm with you on The Simpsons.
Third one is Law and Order.
Oh, that was my
Law and
I'm
Order.
Sorry.
Let
me take Weeds
SVU.
Out.
SVU.
I'm going to cut Weeds out. Give me all the Law and Order. Just give me the whole package.
Bomb, bomb. I love Law and Order
Jack McCoy
more than anything else.
Jack McCoy is, like, the dude that I one day, like, he fights for what he believes in. He doesn't care if you're his boss or not, because he was about to quit his job
yeah.
one day. He was like, well, I don't believe in you. I don't believe what you're saying. Well, he was like, do you believe in your job? He was like, well, not if that's what you're saying.
If Law and Order's on, I'm not doing anything
else.
I think I've only seen 20 minutes of Law and Order
total in my life.
Oh, my God. Every episode's different.
Never saw Murder,
Cut
She Wrote.
Cut out weeds for me.
Never saw Simon and Simon.
I'm not a big one of those.
No, me either.
Never saw 2 and a Half Men.
Me either. No. What about West Wing? John always talks about that one.
I never saw that. I don't like what's his name. I know that people hail writers. Emma VP no doubt loves what's his name. What's his the writer's name? Aaron Sorkin. Everybody loves him.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't like the dialogue? How it's like choppy, right? Like that's his writing style. Like,
It's not only that, it's poppy. Yeah, it's that muscular kind of tone. But besides that, if you took the names off of the characters, you would have and just read the script, you would have no idea who's who. And but somehow, Aaron, he's a genius. But the whole point is that you're supposed, theoretically at least, right, MVP? You studied this in college. You're supposed to be able to write in different characters' voices. Aaron Sorkin writes in one voice all the time, and yet he's hailed as the greatest writer of a generation. I don't get it. But anyway, Simpsons, yes.
Okay.
I might go Always Sunny in Philadelphia because that show's so under the radar in terms of how good it's been for how long it's been good, and they keep making more. So that's a good one. And then three, I'm gonna go with Good Morning Football, the Weekend Edition.
Oh, that's a perfect.
No, I'm not
great.
Gonna go with
that's
that.
Saying, wonderful.
Is that a TV show?
There's not a lot of episodes out there yet.
I'm gonna go Sunday Night Football. How about that?
Yeah, that's not a TV show.
That's
not a TV show.
No,
if I go on my DVR, it says Sunday Night Football. How's that not a TV?
You go to Netflix and there's movies and then there's TV shows. That Sunday Night Football is not on there.
When they put out the weekly ratings, it says Sunday Night Football. That's a TV show.
I don't know if games count.
No, please break this.
Games don't count. That's an entertainment. It's a game.
That's a TV.
I'm gonna allow it.
It's a TV.
Emma, don't
go.
You're the boss here. Don't let him.
I know.
He's trying to be Jack McCoy.
True.
Don't let it work. Don't let it work. If you go to Netflix, if you go to Hulu, if you go to any other, whatever thing they're called, when you go to TV shows, those don't show up. You have to go to games or sports, and then that shows up under sports, Sunday Night Football. That's why it works that way.
Now, like, if Atlanta was a longer-running series.
Oh, that'd be a good one, too.
That would be on there. But that's, like, more of, like, an artisanal, almost. Like, it's just, it's so good, there's just not a lot of it yet.
The reason you said, like, the reason Law & Order is so good is that they have three different versions of it.
Oh, my God.
And there's millions.
No. You don't get all three versions.
Yeah, you can. Everything is under the umbrella of Law & Order.
Anything Law & Order?
Anything Law & Order. Think about that. So right. Now I can
you have me thinking.
I can go Benson and Stabler.
Yep.
Which is a classic.
Well, can I then go ESPN college football and just get
that's
all?
That's not a TV
just get
show.
Every college football game? Well, that's the rules you're playing
Law
by.
Law & Order is not a TV show.
Law & Order is a TV show.
All right.
Oh,
next question comes to us from another of Maurice's pals from the East Bay. Here he is.
My young pups.
High school chum, or actually, I'm sorry.
Oakland Raider teammate.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy legitimately, TJ Carey, starting cornerback of the Oakland Raiders, legitimately, unironically idolizes Maurice, not because he's a great football player. Yes, he was held up at the high school as the greatest player in school history, but also because Maurice shepherded him in TJ's first year in the league, and he appreciated
it. I got a long story about that I could tell you about. You want me to tell you real quick? It's not long, though. It's quick. Listen, TJ Carey, we grew up in Antioch together, but I was always friends with his older brother, Eric. And so me and Eric used to hang out, go to parties, have a good time, work out, all those things. I never knew about TJ because TJ was always kept in the house. So I get to Oakland. It's the end of my career. I get to Oakland.
Kept in the house.
Wait, what do you mean he was always kept in the house?
He's younger than us. So,
okay.
So I was 29. He was 20, 21.
Okay.
Too. So he was 7 years younger. That's a big gap. I never saw him. So TJ gets, they go, oh, yeah, we drafted a De La Salle Spartan. I'm like, who? Like, who did you draft? And then so I call my coach, like, hey, who's this kid? He goes, oh, that's Eric Carey's little brother. I go, shut up.
No way.
And so he's friends with a lot of the kids that I hung out with, their older brothers. He's friends with them. So when he came to Oakland, I kind of tried to show him how to be a professional.
Well, he legitimately appreciated it, as he told us when he paid us a visit. I found him to be a delightful fellow, and I hope to speak with him again soon. Meantime, he has a question for us.
MJD, it's your boy TJ Carey here, man. I want to know, out of all the memories that you've had at De La Salle, you got to give me your best one.
Make it a football one.
They're all football ones.
No girls. Maurice was focused on
ball. Oh yeah,
totally.
I was a baller. I didn't do any. Literally, I was a square. I did football and homework. That was it. left that school with a 3.6.
And also, people
did? Nice.
Is that true? Oh, good, yeah, for you. The other thing is that's interesting about you is that, you know, because obviously it's your life, so you leave these details out. You were a highly regarded safety, weren't you?
Yep. I was, my first scholarship was to,
I didn't know that.
Safety.
Who
Iowa.
Offered? Iowa.
Colorado,
imagine that.
Colorado offered, and then Iowa offered, and then SC offered for safety, too.
Did you like playing safety?
You know, it's always good to hit people. It was nice. It was fun.
Did you? But you obviously liked playing running back.
Bob Sanders.
I got to get the rock.
Were you? Were
that was
people
that was
saying you're Bob. You're the next Bob Sanders.
Iowa came in was because they Bob Sanders was leaving, so they're like, oh, we had this guy, and the same thing. SC saw me as a Troy Polamalu kind of guy.
Wow.
To come in and fit that role, but I just wanted to touch the rock.
Aren't you? I always worry on behalf of these 19-year-old kids when you hear that their coach, they get into a program and they say, oh, the coach has decided to switch him over to tight end from whatever he was doing or vice versa. I always feel like you might change this guy's trajectory for his life,
how much
money he makes in life, just because you feel like positionally we're better off with you over here.
Yeah.
So I do high school football kids, and I'll get to my story here with TJ here in a second, but I try to tell these kids the decision you make at 16 and 17 years old on what you're going to do in high school football or high school sports period, that's going to point you into wherever direction you want to go, right? So if we have some kids who I'm going to bring here this next offseason, come down so they can see everything, but we have some kids that should be playing defense instead of offense, and they still want to play offense, and then they don't get any scholarships, and now you have to go JUCO route.
Right.
Or you got to go a smaller school instead of if you to play defense, you'd be at a
– I get that, school. But that's at least their own choice. And well, then you have to live with it for the rest
right.
of your life.
Yeah.
But if a coach does that
yeah,
to
they
you –
they do that all the time.
I worry so much about that.
It's
and Brandon
about, like,
Cooks is
trusting
a,
that if it's in your best interest.
Right. Cooks is a three-sport athlete coming out of high school. What if you choose the wrong – when you hear about – The success story is like, oh, that guy's the starting pitcher in the World Series. Like,
right.
you know, he also got offered a scholarship to go play ball at Michigan
who
for
is the
pro
guy,
football
who is
quarterback.
The guy, the,
like, what if he chose wrong? How many stories are out there of the guy
so
who made the bad choice?
Who is the guy that the he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers? And didn't he, like, have a scholarship to go to Florida State to play quarterback, but then end up playing baseball? Is his last name Braun?
Ryan Braun?
Yeah,
he did Ryan Braun?
I think yeah, he's the one with the nice
the Hebrew
curl.
Hammer.
Yeah, the guy with
he doesn't
the
like that nickname though. But
anyways, so my
Tell
favorite high
story.
School Ryan memory Brown. Was probably my freshman year. We had a guy by the name of DJ Williams who was the best high school football player ever to come out of California at that time.
Wound up at the U.
Wound up at the U, goes the first round. So I was a freshman there, and I had scored 6 touchdowns in a game my freshman year. And it's funny, they had this table that only the varsity players could sit at in the lunch table. So, you know, the kind of guy I was, I walked over to him. I'm like, hey, bro, and I tapped him. He goes, what do you want? I go, I scored 6 touchdowns yesterday. What are you going to do about it? So I'm at the game. He scores 7.
No.
And the 7th one, he looks up and stares at me and smiles. And I was like, all right, well, at least I got some record. At least you know me.
Right.
At least I got a little bit out of that. And that to me was like, that put me in a situation where I was like, from then on, I'm going to be better than him.
I feel like
I love
those
that.
Stories.
Funny, right?
You watch Mike Mitchell, and I gave Mike Mitchell the business, 4 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
When Leonard Fournette summoned him and they collided, and Mike Mitchell said, told me I'm dumb. I think that what he's getting at by saying I'm dumb is like you don't understand that it's about one-on-one, you know, man-on-man kind of stuff. And Ike is very big on that kind of stuff.
It is. This is a game of one-on-ones.
And I think that is what that's getting at is I like those little stories.
Oh,
I love you, 14-year-old Maurice.
So let me tell you, this is how deep it goes. So I end up playing DJ Wood. I'm in Jacksonville. He's in Denver. And we're playing. And he didn't know it at the time because people call it bullying, but it wasn't bullying. They were kind of like humbling us because we were a really confident freshman team, and they would like put us in lockers and they'd like like steal some of our stuff. Anyways, we're playing him in Denver, and I text one of my boys during the week. I'm like, I am about to embarrass this dude for all the things he did to us as freshmen. And my boy was like, are you kidding me? You still believe in that? I'm like,
I've
never let it go. And I'll never let it go.
So amazing.
And so the whole time we're playing, he didn't know it till like later on that I was like giving him everything I had.
Nuh-uh.
Like, trying to throw him down, trying to block him, trying to run past him. I was talking trash to him.
I love
all
that.
Because of what he did to
holding
me as a
grudges.
14-year-old boy.
I guess it's Michael Jordan's the first guy we knew about like that, or maybe it was Joe Montana, but that is the thing. Like the greats – the greats find a way to put a chip on their shoulder in every situation.
Well, especially if you're competitive. If you're a competitive guy, like they that's in your DNA.
Well, what am I going to do to get up for this game? I'm going to dip 11 years into my past to find something to use.
This was a long time ago, but he had to feel my wrath.
You do your best when you're trying to throw something in someone's face.
No question.
That's what the Wolf does before all she goes out there for game day morning.
I think about all the people who were like, you can't do this. You're too green. You don't know sports. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take that, Savannah
Guthrie.
It's for you. Savannah Guthrie gave me the stink eye once, and now I'm showing her.
It's all my old bosses, yeah, basically.
I like that. I do that, too.
Hey, you That's should give why a shout-out at the show.
I know.
You should. Just be like, all right, hey, shout-out to such
yeah.
and such.
When the DDFP wins an Emmy or an Academy Award
yep.
or both, I do intend to use my full speaking time to not thank the people who helped me get there.
How long is that list?
To call well, a lot most
around people, I mean, the NFL has to be on that list.
It's right? a scroll at this point that just keeps
of
going.
The people who helped me.
No,
yeah. no, I'm going to devote it entirely to the people that tried to hold me back.
Right
around the NFL has to be one of them, right?
I don't know what that is. What
okay.
is
oh no, stop it.
I didn't know.
All right, let's wrap it up there.
I'm Switzerland.
It is the Wolf. It is the great Colleen Wolf watcher on Power Rankings. Good Morning Football, the weekend edition, game day morning.
Yes, you got it. You did it.
Continued success to her Eagles, a.k.a. America's team. I don't know if you heard. I decided that that's an annual award now.
It is. But I don't know if they will. Oh. I think they may get two losses here going this West Coast trip.
They might. You know what?
That's going to be tough.
Guess what? The Saints are going to fall back here. I don't know about your Rams. They
I think
better keep it up here.
The Seahawks.
Catch
I think they'll lose to the Rams.
It don't matter.
They're going to split.
As long as the Rams take that victory, we'll be fine. Playoffs.
Give us a bye. My preseason pick was the Seahawks, which I feel like the world should let me off the hook for because of all the injuries.
Nope.
But I'll stick with it.
Okay.
But I also think Eagles, Falcons, Seahawks. All birds, all relevant in that those are the three teams.
What about the Rams?
I'm just telling you what I think. I'm telling you two of the three teams, wing teams I just named for you, are in the NFC title game.
I say,
really?
This is, you want to hear my bold prediction?
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I know we
got
to go, but this is my bold prediction.
It's going to be the
all baby. Three of the teams that I've played or worked for make the playoffs this year.
How about that? I love
now,
it.
Now, I would be with you if not for the Cooper and Crabtree absence over the next week to 2 weeks.
I think two of the three.
Watch what I say.
Okay. I think the Chargers win the division. Oh, well, you might be right. I don't know. Maybe we'll see Mahomes before it's all done. Leave us on that. Will we see Mahomes play start a game this season? The Wolf.
Yes.
No. American.
Yeah.
Flip a coin.
No is my answer to that. All right. We'll keep us with you later in the week. In the meantime, for the Wolf, for Maurice Jones-Drew, for Brandon Cooks, for number 24, Ike Taylor, for TJ Carey, for MVP. For Eddie Spaghetti and Ryan Bartlett and everybody else behind
everybody.
The glass. Oh, we have a luxury of time. I can just keep talking because the music's still winding down.
Yep.
I'm going to hit the pole. Don't worry about it. It's been a thin slice of heaven.